Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15 tonight. Good to see you under the tabernacle. And I know it's hot, but remember, they play golf in it. They go fishing in it. These women go shopping in it. We go to camp meeting in it. And I'm glad to be here tonight. I want you to tell Brother Brian McBride when he gets here that the orderly made such a mess, they had to get a doctor to come in here and clean it up. Amen. And I'm excited for you. You're going to get to hear Brother Taylor, and you'll get to hear Brother Brian McBride. And if you've never heard that man preach, Lord have mercy, what a preacher. And I'm just glad to be on the same team. Somebody asked me when I was just a boy, said, how does it feel to play second fiddle to Billy Kelly and Mays Jackson? I said, it feels wonderful. I'm just glad I'm in the band. And I enjoyed that good choir singing. And I love you, Brother Clay. I'm so proud of you and your brother here and your mom and your dad, your family. God is good. And I believe in household salvation. Praise God. It's good for Mama and Daddy and Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe and first kin, second kin, and third kin. I just preached in West Virginia. Everybody up there is kin, praise God. And I found out when I was in West Virginia, that's where they invented the toothbrush. Because if it had been anywhere else, they'd have called it a teeth brush. Say amen right there. Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter number 15. And I want to spot read this chapter, and you'll know why in just a moment. Luke chapter number 15, and look what it says in verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So in verse 6, the sheep has been found by the shepherd. Come down tonight, if you will, to verse number 9. And when she, speaking of the woman of verse 8, when she had found it, speaking of that lost coin, when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now come down, if you will, to verse number 24. Here is the father of the prodigal. And he says in chapter 15, verse number 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And say this with me, and was lost, but is found. And they began to be merry. And I want to preach tonight from this lost and found chapter. I'm glad I once was lost, but now I'm found. It is in my heart the days of my dwelling here to try to magnify God's amazing grace. And aren't you glad tonight? It is amazing grace. It is amazing to the sight, and it is sweet to the sound. It's amazing to the sight because you ain't never seen nothing like it. And it's amazing to the sound because you ain't never heard nothing like it. I'm glad for God's amazing grace. I'm taking the first verse of that great hymn of the faith, and I preach from books and chapters, and so this week I'm preaching from a song. And we divided that first verse into three divisions. You remember, I amazing grace, how sweet the sound that did what? Saved a wretch like me. Last night we went to that thief on the cross. And what a picture of God's grace saving wretched sinners. Remember the second part of that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Remember, I once was lost, but now I am found. And I'll try to emphasize that tonight. And then tomorrow night, the Lord willing, we'll emphasize the last part. I once was blind, but now I see. If the rapture takes place, Brother Joy's got my notes, and he'll just continue where I've left them. But aren't you glad tonight, the amazing grace of God, it is saving grace. It is seeking grace. And it is seeing grace. Let's look tonight at a wonderful picture of the grace of God that found the lost sinner. I believe tonight when you come to Luke 15, it is the very heart of Luke's gospel. I believe it's more than the heart of Luke's gospel. I believe it is the very heartbeat of God itself. Because I believe tonight the heartbeat of God is the salvation of lost sinners. I believe in this text tonight you see the only thing that really erupts heaven in praise and adoration to God. I don't believe my preaching does it. I don't think my singing does it. I wish my prayer did it. But I know there's one thing that will erupt heaven in audible praise unto God. And that's when an old sinner gets found by the grace of God and gets saved. And just in the way of introduction, can I just run one rabbit if I hurry? Whatever books you are reading, whatever preachers you are listening to, whatever religious crowd you're running with, if it causes you to lose your burden for lost sinners to be saved, junk it and get out of it. Because the heartbeat of God is reaching farther down than man can reach up. He's already said in chapter 19 of the same book that the Son of Man has come to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And we see that so clearly and vivid in this text tonight. Before us in this scripture tonight, I believe you see a threefold picture of just how lost man is outside of the grace of God. In the first part of this text, man is pictured as a lost sheep. A sheep that is gone astray. A sheep that is lost out in the desert and cannot find his way back. You know what we were before God found us? The Bible said we like sheep have gone astray. Wandered away from God, lost with that God in the desert of sin and unbelief. And just as that sheep was dumb without any direction, we didn't know where to turn, where to look, or where to go. But I'm glad somebody came seeking for me. And I was that lost sheep. But praise God, I've been found. You come to the middle part of the text, and man is pictured as a lost silver. Or he's pictured as a lost coin. Lost amidst the dust and the rubbish of the house. You say, now, Brother Joe, how in the world can a coin picture a lost sinner? Well, you got to understand the reason a coin was created. It was created to be circulated in the service of the king. In fact, every coin on it in that day had stamped upon it the express image of the emperor. That let you know who that coin represented. And that coin was used to be circulated in the service of the king in which whose image it bears. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. When God reached down in the red clay hills of South Carolina and Georgia and made a man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, God did not create him that that man might raise the devil and live like a fool and run his own life. But man was created to serve God, praise God, honor God, love God, magnify God, and stamped in the soul of every human being on planet Earth, it's the express image of our divine Creator. For God said, let us make man in our own image. That is a conversation between the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And God made man a triune being. And we're made in the image of God. And because of that, there's a place in every person's life that is reserved for God and God alone. There's a place in everybody's life that only a relationship with God can fill. Education can't fill that void. Religion can't fill that void. Good works can't fill that void. And I promise you tonight, the pleasures and the iniquities of sin cannot fill that void. Man is lost and undone with that God or His Son. And as long as he is lost, he can't live up to the purpose in which he's been created. He can't honor the image of one that's expressed upon his life. He can't be used in the service of the king. And I was like that lost silver, dead in trespasses and in sin. I was not honoring God. But I'm glad somebody got a hold of me, and the Spirit of God regenerated me. And tonight I'm praising my Savior. I'm lifting up my Savior. I'm serving my Savior. Because I love what the preacher said a while ago. There's only one among us that's worthy of the glory and worthy of the honor and worthy of the praise. In His name is Jesus. I just want to say thank God for the Father, thank God for the Son, and thank God for the Holy Ghost. Pictured as that lost sheep. Pictured as that lost silver. And then the end of the parable, the man that's lost is pictured as a lost son. A son that has gone away from the Father. And a son that is lost and missed the disgust and the disease and the filth of the hog pen. You know what this prodigal son reminds us of what sin will do to somebody who has been deceived by it. And detoured by it. And destroyed by it. This man proves to us tonight the results of being lost. The results of being a sinner. For sin has taken this boy farther than he's wanted to go. It has kept him longer than he's wanted to stay. And it's costed him a whole lot more than he's wanted to pay. He is a picture of an old sinner that's down in the muck and in the miry clays of sin. And can I remind all of us tonight, before Jesus got a hold of us with His amazing grace, we were lost in the muck and in the mires of sin. You say, Brother Joe, I'm here to tell you tonight, I never committed adultery. I never drunk liquor. I've never been a doper. I've been a good old sinner. Can I remind you, there is one hell, and there is one bottomless pit, and there's one flame of fire, and there's one madhouse house of the wicked. And you may have never drank liquor, smoked dope, committed adultery, but it took just as much at the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to save you. Because religiously speaking, we were in the hog pen. But aren't you glad the story doesn't end with that old boy lost and undone in the hog pen? Man, that is a picture of just how lost a sinner is. He is like the sheep that is lost in the desert. He is like the silver that is lost in the dust. And he's like the son that is lost in disgrace. I want to tell you that sheep out in that wilderness, he's a picture of sinners that are lost in the world. That little silver lost in that house is a picture of sinners that are lost in the church. And that boy down in the hog pen, he's a picture of sinners that are lost in the family. But aren't you glad for sinners that are lost in the world, and for sinners that are lost in the church, and for sinners that are lost way out in the world and the family? I'm glad God saves old sinners. I'm glad there's hope for sinners. I'm glad he came to seek sinners. The happiest day in your life is when you realize you're a lost sheep, and you're a lost silver, and you're a lost son, because the story doesn't end with the remaining loss. In fact, it says three times, once was lost, but now is found. Once is lost, but now is found. Once is lost, but now it's found. I like that once, because I will never be lost again. Oh, can I say that one more time? I'm glad it said once. I'll never be lost again. I'll never be alienated again. I'll never be separated again. Whoop! I'll never be thirsty again. I'm glad God saves old sinners. That's just how lost we were. But God's amazing grace found us just in time. Man, I'm enjoying this. I see a threefold picture of the lostness of the sinner. Oh, but in this chapter, I see a threefold picture of God's amazing grace. In fact, in this parable, I see a picture of the Godhead. In this parable, I see a picture of the Trinity. And all three parts of the Godhead had its own distinct part in my salvation. Now, I don't want to bust your systematic theological bubble, but it's not first person, second person, and third person. It's Father, Son, and Spirit all on one line. There is no rivalry or jealousy in the Godhead. You say, well, I don't believe in the word Trinity because it's not in the Bible. Well, homecoming ain't either, but I go to a lot of them. Can I get a witness? Mother's Day ain't either, but bless God, you better not forget it, boys. Say amen right there. Rapture's not either, but I'm going up when the trumpet sounds. Gambling ain't either. Gambling ain't either, but I don't play the lottery. Oh, you may not find the word Trinity, but it simply means a triune being. And I'm telling you, you slice it, dice it. There's God the Father, and there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Ghost. You say, I don't understand it. Good. Because if you could, it wouldn't be Father and Son and Holy Ghost. But I do know this tonight. There's a woman in North Carolina that calls me son. There's a woman in Georgia that calls me husband. Well, along with some other things, but we'll use husband tonight. There are two people in Georgia that call me daddy. There's a lot of people across this country that call me Preacher Joe. There are three women in this country that call me brother, their brother. And there's a bunch of people that call me me uncle, and there's a bunch of people that call me friend. There's a bunch of people that call me friend. There's a bunch of people that call, my God, Clifford, just don't sit there and greet. Thank you. And but listen to me. Listen to me. There are not 7 Joe Arthurs, thank God. There's not 4 Joe Arthurs, thank God. There's not even 2 Joe Arthurs, thank God. There is 1 Joseph Clarence Arthur Sr., born July the 22nd, 1962. But yet, I'm a daddy to 2, and I'm a brother to 3, and I'm still a husband to 1, and I'm a son to 1, and I'm a friend to a lot, and I'm a pastor to several, but there's still me. I said all that to say this. I am finite. I am weak. I am human. I am carnal. I am beggarly. And if I don't have any problem being husband and being father and being son and being brother and being friend and being preacher and still be little old me, God who is infinite, God who is sovereign, God who is holy, God who is all powerful, don't have any problem being father and son and spirit and still be one God. Ooh. All 3 of the Godhead had its own distinct part in my salvation. Salvation was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son. It was performed by the Holy Ghost. I've been selected by the Father. I've been saved by the Son. And I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. God the Father fought it. God the Son bought it. The Holy Ghost wrought it. The Bible taught it. The devil fought it. But I got it. Praise God. I'm glad for the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In this parable tonight, I see a picture of God the Son. In the first part of this parable, I see God the Son as the shepherd who is seeking the lost sheep. And I love this King James expression. It says that he searched until he found it. Lord, I was operating a motor vehicle the other day, and that little phrase hit me. And I'll tell you what, I had to pull over. I mean, it got plumb dangerous. It said he searched until he found it. You know what that tells me? It tells me something. It doesn't say how many mountains he climbed, how many rivers he swam, how many oceans he forded, how many deserts he crossed, how many nights he spent. Oh, because it wasn't too dark for the sheep, and it wasn't too far for the sheep, and it wasn't too long for the sheep. He just searched until, Lord God, I wonder if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight. You're glad God didn't give up on you. I said you're glad God didn't give up on you. God didn't give up on you. He searched until he found you. And when he found it, he didn't beat it. He didn't upbraid it. He didn't judge it. But when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and brought it back and said, hey, this small little sheep was lost and it is found. I want to stop and say, I'm glad I know who the shepherd is. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter said it like this. We all like sheep have gone astray, but now have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. The Bible said he's the good shepherd. The Bible said he's the great shepherd. The Bible said he is the chief shepherd. And have you ever noticed this? When Jesus was born, you don't hear about shepherds no more in the Bible, because he's the ultimate shepherd. He's the last shepherd. You'll never need another shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm glad this shepherd, I'm glad he seeks the sheep. He saves the sheep. He secures the sheep. He satisfies the sheep. He supplies the sheep. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad God the Son is the shepherd. And he searched and he found us. And we belong to him tonight. Woo! I see a picture of God the Son. Oh, but in the middle part of the parable, I see a picture of God the Holy Ghost. You say, where in the world do you see the Holy Ghost? I see the Holy Ghost in this woman that is searching among the rubbish of that house, looking for that lost coin. You say, how in the world do you see that? Well, notice what she's got. She's got a light in one hand and a sweeper in the other. You know what? That house, she's going to search. She's not going to look. She is going to search. Now, if you didn't understand that illustration, you've never had a teenage daughter or a teenage son in your house. They can say, Mom, Dad, I'm looking for something. And you'll say, did you look in your room? And this is what they mean when they said they looked in their room. They opened the door and closed it and said, we looked in the room. But did you search? Did you search? And Mama says, did you open the closet? And the teenager says, Mama, if I open the closet, an avalanche of stuff will knock me down and it'll kill me. Mama says, let me tell you, you've been looking, but you've not been searching. And son, Mama comes in there and she's going to look in the closet, behind the door, under the bed, under the rug, and she's got a light. This little woman says, I'm going to find that silver in them dark corners, in them dark crevices. I'm going to get a light. I see that little lady, she's walking through the house, shining that light, lighting up the darkness under the bed, behind the covers, under the rug, behind the door. That light, oh, I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight. You remember the day the Holy Ghost took this almighty Word of God, the glorious light of the gospel, shine it into your heart. Listen close. I was lost, but didn't know it. I was headed for hell, and didn't know it. I needed God, but I didn't know it. Oh, I was in a mess, but I didn't know it. But when the glorious, hallelujah, but when the glorious light of the gospel shined into my heart, God took this 1611 high energized lithium battery flashlight, shined it into my soul, and I just want to say, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw myself, and I saw the Savior. And tonight, I'm not living in the dark corners. I'm stepping in the light. I'm walking in the light. I'm headed to the city of light. She's got that light. Then she's got a sweeper. She got a broom. She ain't got no vacuum cleaner. She's got a sweeper. You know what she's got to do? Clear a path. Because between her and that lost coin is some dirt. As we say in the country, some obstacles. Some obstacles, some hurdles, some hindrances. And she's going to go sweeping around. Woo! She's going to clear a path to where there's nothing between her and the lost coin. Well, just let me ask you one more time. Does anybody remember when the Holy Ghost got to sweeping around in the recesses of your heart? Son, your mama tried to talk to you. Your daddy tried to talk to you. Your Sunday school teacher tried to talk to you. Your preacher tried to talk to you. The law tried to talk to you. And you was as stubborn as you could be. Oh, but the Holy Ghost got a sweeper and got to sweeping around in your heart. Clear the path. Every excuse you offered, he swept it away. Every crutch you leaned on, he swept it away. Every everything that was hindering you, he swept it away. He swept away my church membership. He swept away my water baptism. He swept away my turning over a new leaf. He swept away my rededicating, because I'd rededicated so much till I wore the dedicator out. And he kept a sweeping. The finally one Thursday night, 1979, in Reidsville, North Carolina, it was all swept away. And there was nothing between my soul and my Savior. And the Holy Ghost came to me and drew me to Jesus. I'm glad tonight for old time, Holy Ghost, salvation. It still works. It's never lost its power. Thank God for God the Son. And thank God for God the Holy Ghost. Woo! Oh, but in the latter part of the parable, I see God the Father. I see the Son in that shepherd. I see the Spirit in that woman. Oh, but I see the Father in the father of that prodigal. It's still early. Y'all want to have some fun? And you want to tear a lot of people's nerves up theologically? I enjoy that. So come with me to the party. You got this side over here, and all they see is the sovereignty of God. Then you got this side over here, and all they see is the free will of man. Can I remind you, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Can I remind you, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But I also believe in the free will of man, the responsibility of man. And if you study that Bible and rightly divide the word of truth, they never molest each other. They never contradict each other. They walk hand in hand down the street of grace. For let me show you the sovereignty of God. He sent the shepherd. Made the first move. Let me show you the sovereignty of God. He sent the Holy Ghost looking for a dead piece of silver. Oh, but let me show you on this side the responsibility of man. Notice what happens. That shepherd leaves and goes to looking. That woman leaves and goes to looking. And that father stays upon the throne, patiently waits for the Spirit and the shepherd to do his work. Hup, hup, hup. You say, what's the Father waiting on? I'm going to tell you exactly what he's waiting on. Down yonder at that hog pen. Hallelujah. Where that old boy is. I mean, son, he's below the bottom. Listen to me. I got here tonight. I'm hungry. And I saw them offering plates, Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. And I thought, dear God, may that offering be finger-licking good. Somebody say amen, right? But you hear me? That old boy is so low and down. He would like to have some Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's willing to eat something from McDonald's. He would love to have one of them hamburger steaks from Sugar and Spice downtown Spartanburg, where Jesus is going to eat during the millennial reign. Oh, but he is so destitute. He's about to pick up a handful of slop and eat the same. I want to tell you, young people, sin'll make a fool out of you. It'll make a clown out of you. It'll make a lost beggar out of you. Whoo! I gotta hurry. But before that slop could ever touch his lips, something happens to him. It said, he came to himself. He came to himself. You say, what does that mean? That means he woke up. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, the first person he thought about was Father. The first place he thought about was home. And the first thing he thought about was bread. Lord God, can I run that one more time? Father, home, and bread. Father, home, and bread. They just kind of all go together. In fact, in any order. Bread, home, Father. Home, bread, Father. Father, home, bread. Bread, home, Father. Any way you look at it, I'm glad there's a Father. And he's at home. And he's got bread. And bread does. And he thought about Father, and he thought about home, and he thought about bread. Now, I don't pastor in the country. I pastor a bunch of city slickers. Most people in my church have never seen a possum nor a skunk. Most young people in my church thinks a bush hog is an animal. They think hamburger grows on a tree. They don't understand somebody's Betsy had to die for my quarter pounder. Hello? I don't know how much you know about animals, but honey, you can feed the chickens and you'll be all right. You can feed the dogs and you'll be all right. You need milk a cow. Wash in some dial and spring and whatever, and you'll be all right. But if you ever waller, boy, aren't you glad we're from a part of the world that knows what wallering is? And just in case any Yankees have slipped in among us, waller means you got down there and rolled around, man. You got it all over you, brother. Oh, when you waller, how many knows what waller means? When you waller around in that stuff, son, it stinks down there. Son, it's a stinking hog pen. He's wallered in it and he stinks too. But there is a smell coming out of the Father's kitchen down the long road to the hog pen. And it's a greater smell and a bigger smell than all of the stench rising above the stench. And a boy said, Lord God, I can smell the bread. I can smell the bread. And you know what he did? He dropped the pail, kicked the rail, and hit the trail. Can I say that one more time? He dropped the pail, kicked the rail, and hit the trail. And turned his back on the hogs. And gave the pigs a permanent wave. And here he goes. I will arise and go to my Father. And say to my Father, I'm going to side with the Father against myself. Can I get a witness? Aren't you glad one day you responded? You woke up and said, out of my bondage, into my thy light, Jesus, I come to thee. Oh, glory. Back up just a minute. I told you that shepherd went seeking. That woman went searching. And that father just patiently waited. But he got in on it too. He got to moving too. Because it said him when he's yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran and, oh glory, fell on his neck and kissed him. Come here, brother. You be the responsibility of man. Come over here, brother. You be the sovereignty of God. Well, glory. The sovereignty of God sent the shepherd. The sovereignty of God sent the Spirit. And God the Father patiently waits for man to exercise his faith. And when that prodigal came to himself, well, glory, glory, glory. The Father got off of the throne and left the Father's house. And I ain't going to ask you to do this at your age. But he ran. He ran. He ran.
Oh, a sovereign God and the responsibility of man and an old sinner and a father. Amen. Came to agreement. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's shout it out for the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The sovereignty of man, the sovereignty of God, the free will of man, holding hands down Glory Hallelujah Street. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, boys. Can I say one thing before I quit? If a dummy like me has got that figured out, what's wrong with all these smart people? Just in case an intellectual has come in among us. Brother Maccabee and Mays Jackson and men like that were legends in their own time. Sir, you're a legend in your own mind. And you don't figure this out here. You say, how'd you come up with that? Read my Bible. Hey! A sovereign God sent Jesus. A sovereign God sent the Holy Ghost. A sovereign God took the initiative. Oh, hallelujah. But when you said, I've had it, I've had it, I'm done, I'm coming, He came, He came, He came to where you were. Can I philosophize one more time? This ain't very intellectual, but it sure does bless me. It said when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. You say, how far was that? Well, you want to know my authorized opinion? I'll tell you how far it was. Woo! When that boy stood up and said, I'm going to him, that was far enough. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? Jesus came looking for us, and the Holy Ghost came looking for us. And aren't you glad that night you made that decision? I will arise. I will call. And now you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Father got in on it. The Son got in on it. The Holy Ghost got in on it. And bless God, I've got in on it. And you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't want to quit, but I got to. I'm hot and you're hot. But oh, his father saw him. Conscience grace. Had compassion. Caring grace. Ran. Coming grace. Fell on his neck. Condescending grace. Kissed him. Counseling grace. Bring forth the robe, covering grace. Put a ring, covenant grace. Give him shoes, commissioning grace. Bring the fatted calf, communion grace. And when you don't think it can get any better, you say, preacher, it ain't no way and get better than them shoes and that robe and that ring and that calf. Oh, yeah. It got real better. Because after they got the robe and the ring and the shoes and the calf, the Father said, I got one more thing I want to say, y'all. This, my son. my son. Let's take a little stroll, brother. My son. My son. Claiming grace. Claiming grace. Aren't you glad the grace of God made a claim on you? And I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. Not for years or time alone, but through all eternity. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. And right here in this text it says, heaven ignites in praise when a sinner comes home to God. That Thursday night in June of 1979, it didn't make the TV when I got saved. It didn't make the fake news or the real news. Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet, so it didn't even make the internet. Nobody Facebooked it or tweeted it. It didn't even make our local Christian radio station. But glory to God, it made news. And one more rabbit. One of the great thinkers of our day said to me, "But Dr. Arthur, don't you know that your name was in the book before the foundation of the world?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't go that far back." And I said, "It very well could have been, but I didn't know nothing about it till I got saved." And boy, I'm glad one day they're going to call that roll. And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be back. Oh, no. I'll not be here. Oh, no. I'll be there. Because amazing grace, I'll sweep the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Found, forgiven, and favored by God's amazing grace. Let's stand all over the tabernacle tonight. Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for God the Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, the blessed three in one. Thank you for reminding us of so great a salvation. Do a work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. A couple of things tonight if you're here and you're not saved. My God, what a good night. He'll arise and go to Jesus and He'll save you tonight. Maybe you're here and you are saved, but you've not lived for Him. Boy, what more could God do to give you a motive to live for Him? And I just feel led tonight to say this. You may be here tonight, a grandma, grandpa, a father, a mother. You got a prodigal son or you got a prodigal daughter. And you would love to see this text become a reality in your family. God can save your prodigal just like He did the prodigal in this text. Because there's no boundaries and borders and limits to God's amazing grace. So while Brother Wampler sings for us tonight, people are coming. You join them tonight. Come pray for that prodigal. Come pray for that lost boy. That lost girl. That lost mom. That lost dad. Come and get your joy and your happy. And your excitement. Leave this place tonight. Tell the world. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.